Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We do have Ross Tucker coming up in 1 hour's time. We got to get back into the Cavs' great amount of success. We haven't, we got a slight thing on that. I actually have something for JP later in the show, but right now we are all Browns with our next guest, Mark Ross of NFL Network, where he works as an NFL Network analyst. He's a former NFL executive. He joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Andrew Berry spoke about whether or not the Browns needed a total teardown for this team to get back to where they were a couple years ago. Do you think that's where we are with this Browns team?
Yeah, I love Andrew Berry. I respect the guy, but I think that where the Browns are now, I don't know if there's any other team really in that position. I don't want to say dire, but it's going to be hard to climb out of for them, and I just don't see an easy path, really, to do that with their situation, with personnel, the cap space, still the Deshaun Watson situation lingering over them. So, I know you got to, as a GM and forward-facing, you got to say the right things, but, behind the scenes, for the path to say, we'll be good in a year, two, 3 years, I'm just not seeing that right now.
How does he keep his job, then?
The owner likes him. that's pretty much the bottom line with GMs is, if you're tight with the owner and the owner wants you to be around, that's what happens, and it doesn't matter what the fans think, doesn't matter what the local media thinks. If, Haslam likes Andrew Berry, wants him to be there, he will be there.
Mark, do you think the Browns are more poorly coached or more poorly constructed?
I think it's both. I think once the Deshaun Watson situation was there and you saw how bad he was, and I'd been saying it all year, and, it wasn't going to take long from game one from last year, what I saw in Deshaun Watson, to say, yes, this is the same guy. He's pretty much shot. I was on with Cleveland radio station early and said, you'll know, when you're in personnel and you scout and, there's hope in things, but when you watch the film and you see these certain negative aspects of someone's game, it's like, yep, they're pretty much done, especially at the quarterback position. And when you game one, you saw it. Game two is like, okay, this guy is who he is now. He's not going to go back to that person, that Houston Texans top five quarterback anymore. This is just who he is now. It all starts and ends with that and how bad he played. And, they really had no chance. And then once that goes to the rest of the team and the other guys are thinking we've got no chance with this guy, then it just starts the negative thing. And I said, play Jameis. I know it'd be fun. I didn't think Jameis was the answer, but as you've seen the last few weeks with Jameis, at least it's fun and you get some yards and get some interceptions and some competitiveness. You beat the Ravens, but overall it's a combination of both. When teams are bad, it's not just one thing or the other. It's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, Jameis is fun, Mark, but we all know Jameis is obviously not the answer for next year, and yep. I don't think DTR is, and I don't think Bailey Zappi is, or any of those guys. If you're the Browns, then do you draft a quarterback, or do you try to get someone like a Justin Fields or someone that's out there that maybe was a starter this year or has an opportunity to be a starter? What's your approach?
Well, where are you trying to go as an organization? You're just trying to get a guy to get through so you can be 7-8 wins, or you're trying to win the Super Bowl? And when I worked for personnel departments, it was always about winning Super Bowls and not just be competitive or be relevant or get to the playoffs. So, signing someone, a Justin Fields type, is not going to win you the Super Bowl. He's been around, got benched. Drafting people, it's hard. It's hard to get that guy. But that's still really the avenue that works. And you just got to hit on the right guy. And that's extremely hard, and it's tough. And the ones that have done that, you see they're at the top of the league now, and the ones that haven't, they're struggling. And you're talking about how quickly you can rebuild. Well, there's certain teams that have been in quarterback, the bottom of the barrel quarterbacks for a long time, and they've been struggling for a long time. So, whatever that approach is, getting a guy, drafting him, wherever that is, or hitting on the right guy is the way to do it.
Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We know. I mean, you know, we had 11 years for you with the Giants there at a big level position, but you were also in the Eagles organization when they actually drafted Donovan McNabb. So I just, like you mentioned, you got to get it right, and it's incredibly hard. What are the factors that go into getting it right?
Yeah, and that was the year Cleveland had the first pick and took Tim Couch. Thanks for doing that.
I didn't have to do that there, Mark.
Sorry. No, I was just trying to recollect. I like my memory. But third pick was Akili Smith, so, and then Dante Culpepper was later, Cade McNown, some other guys. Sean King was in the second round, Joe Germain. But for us, Donovan was just always the guy, number one, on the field. And we were lucky that Andy Reid knew, like, Donovan's skill set there, that, like, yes, I can work with this. It wasn't, no, I don't. He wasn't a traditional, you know, that traditional drop back guy at Syracuse. They did a lot of interesting, funky things at Syracuse in the offense, and Donovan was extremely athletic, and we were lucky to Andy had just got there and was in sync with the personnel department to say, yeah, oh yeah, this guy could do some things. I want to work with this. So we were lucky in that aspect, where it was that synergy between the scouting staff and the coaching staff to take that guy and say, yes, his skill set can do it. But also, Donovan could handle the Philadelphia media. You know, he's from Chicago, went to Syracuse, was the Big East at the time when it was different Big East now, you know, when that was really premier conference. And we knew he could handle it as opposed to some other guys who were concerned about. But, you know, moving forward, it's I think people always have to realize every draft cycle – however, let's say there's four or five quarterbacks, and we try to build them up, the media, everybody, they're all going to be great, and they're not. It's really going to be maybe one guy of that. And so we have to really have to change our thinking about quarterbacks and who's good. Really, there's only a few elite players, and each draft cycle, there may be one of those elite players that enter into that elite group. And it's extremely difficult. You had to identify not only on the field, off the field, how they can handle all those situations and really raise the level of people around them. To me, that's the biggest factor. Great quarterback, they raise the level of everyone around them.
How many quarterbacks do you see in this draft?
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
That can raise the level
of everyone, zero.
And I haven't dug deep into the scouting aspect, but just the little bit that I've seen on all of them, I don't look at these games and say, yep, that guy is the one that we need to get, and he can really take an organization to another level.
I just want to be clear, between the Tim Couch thing and that answer, you're not sandbagging us right now, right? You're not just kicking a fan base when we're down.
I had no dog in a hunt. If I was working for a team, sure, but I just give it honest and give my analysis on these situations. But no, I wish I could tell you. And leading up to draft season, yep, there's going to be five guys that everybody's talking about, that these guys are all going to be stars. And if you look at the last five drafts and look at the quarterbacks, and it's carnage, you know, pretty much. And there's a couple guys that are succeeding, but for the most part, it's a lot of misses.
Mark, looking to the now with the Browns today, Andrew Berry specified time after time, hey, we got these eight games to go. We got eight games. We're going to try and get it right for these eight games. And that leads the question of what is getting it right? Is that trying to win as many games as you can, or is that trying to set yourself up best for the future?
I'm not sure. So, you know, I've been a part of 2-3-13 teams, first with Philly before we drafted Donovan, and then with the Giants, and we got let go. But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, even those games, you're just trying to figure out your roster, what guys are going to be around for the future. But for the Browns, I'm not sure, you know, what that means. If that's winning enough games to keep everybody around, if that's just analyzing teams, or if they really think they still have a shot to do something. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not there. I don't know what that is. But so depending on where your organization is and that next year, what you're trying to do, it can all be different. What this sort of feeling is when you know the season is kind of lost, and all right, the powers that be, the owner, the GM, the head coach, what they're all talking about and what they're saying, who's going to be here, who's making these decisions. And it's different if you know you're going to be a part of the plan going forward when you're a decision maker, as opposed to, well, I might be going out of here in 2 months, so I'll make decisions differently than if I know I have some security.
Yeah, Mark, earlier when we asked about Andrew Berry, you'd mentioned, well, it comes down to the owner. Does the owner like you? So if we apply that same logic to Stefanski, I'm not going to ask you, do you think Stefanski will keep his job? But I'll put it this way. Do you feel like if Stefanski was on the open market and they did fire him, do you feel like, how many teams do you feel like would be in the Kevin Stefanski business? Like, I want to hire that guy. That's the type of head coach I want.
Yeah, I think there would be some. I mean, he won one or two coaches of the year there. And that's, you know, I know he worked some magic, and that's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL, right? Go from coach of the year to saying, okay, you might not have a job. And there's been, I've been a part of that on both ways where it's like, yep, make the playoffs. Next year you do bad and the coach is gone. So, you know, I think he would get interest. Whether someone would actually finalize that, I'm not sure. But I think he has shown enough that people around the league feel he is a quality coach.
Mark, looking at the Deshaun situation here, because Andrew Berry didn't rule out that he would return, didn't rule out that that he would be here next year either. He really didn't rule out anything with Deshaun.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything the Browns could have done to make this work with Deshaun, or do you think that this thing was just going to fail because of maybe where Deshaun was after everything?
Yeah, I just think he was shot, guys, to be honest. Is it, you know, whatever, you know, physical gifts he may have had, I think even bigger to me that separates great players from Hall of Fame players, from elite, all time, is their mental. And, you know, the confidence, the poise, the knowing, the feeling, the game, whatever that is. And when I just watched him, he just looked like I just didn't really know how to, you know, be confidently play football anymore. And, you know, I don't know whether it was the off field that led that, whatever, but it just didn't look like that. So I don't think they could have put better talent around him or better coaching or whatever it is. When you just watched Browns games and you saw, it's like, man, this guy can't play. And you saw it the next week and the next week. And, you know, when guys are kind of shot, kind of like a fighter, you just don't get that back. It's just kind of over with. And that's just what I saw from Deshaun and his Cleveland tenure.
Mark, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks again. We definitely don't think you were sandbagging, just having some fun there. But great stuff.
Yeah, next call out at draft time, I'll say how great all the quarterbacks are that you guys have a chance to get.
That's right. I cannot wait for it. Be good, buddy. Thank you again.
All right, take care.
NFL Network analyst Mark Ross there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.